Hey, little thinkers, let's rewind.
Time to travel back.
Hello, bright explorers. Today, we visit busy streets, warm cups, and brave decisions. Our story follows Howard Schultz, a boy from Brooklyn, who helped change how America drinks coffee. There is courage in every cup.
Welcome, friends. This tale begins with worry and ends with hope. It shows how a hard memory can become a promise to help others. The sounds of steam and chatter will guide the way, step by step.
We will hear about a tiny Seattle shop that grew and grew. We will meet people who loved beans, cups, and careful craft. One trip across the ocean will change everything without a single scary moment.
This story suits kids, teens, and curious adults. It is exciting, kind, and real. There will be tough choices, but the ending is full of light, ready to savor rich smells and small brave steps.
Then let us bring in someone who can pour this story just right. Someone who knows the hiss of steam and the weight of a dream.
Storyteller, the cups are warm and the listeners are here. Please begin.
Brooklyn, New York, late afternoon in the late 1950s. Cold air slips through a thin window. A bus sighs outside. A small boy named Howard sits in a cramped apartment. He watches his father, a delivery driver, come home hurt from work. No benefits, no safety net. His mother speaks softly, trying to stay strong. The radiator hisses. The boy studies his father's tired hands and feels something sharpen inside. He wants a different kind of job world. He does not have the words yet, but he remembers the ache later. He will say this moment shaped him. For now, he carries groceries, plays in the courtyard, and dreams of wide chances beyond the brick buildings and the busy corner store. Howard grows in a public housing project in Brooklyn. Money is thin, but his hunger to move forward is large. He reads, runs, and pushes himself on the field and in class. The school gym smells like rubber and effort. Coaches notice his drive. A scholarship opens a door to Northern Michigan University. He becomes the first in his family to finish college. He works odd jobs, learns to manage time, and keeps going when he is tired. Under the lake winds and long winters, he learns grit. Graduating with a communications degree, he steps into the working world with a steady handshake and a stronger will. His first big job is at Xerox. He learns to sell by listening. He studies what people need before he speaks. Phones ring, paper slides. He moves to a Swedish housewares company called Hammerplast. They make coffee makers and filters. Reports cross his desk. One small Seattle company keeps ordering a surprising number of filters. The name is Starbucks. Curiosity rises. Why is one little shop ordering so many? He calls. He wants to visit. He is not chasing money alone. He is chasing a feeling. He wants work that matters to people. The plane ticket is booked. West, to the rainy city by the water. Seattle, early 1980s. The sky hangs low and gray. The air smells like salt and rain. At Pike Place Market, a small shop with brown scoops and burlap sacks hums with Life coffee grinders purr. Scoops scrape across beans. Starbucks sells whole beans and gear, not cups of lattes. The founders love quality. They speak of roasting, regions, and flavor notes. Howard tastes a fresh pour. It is richer than most coffee he has tried. He feels a spark. He joins Starbucks in 1982, leading marketing and retail. He sets up tastings. He tells stories of beans and farms. But a bigger idea waits across the ocean. Milan, 1983. Narrow streets and lively chatter. Little cups clink on saucers. Steam bursts. Baristas work fast, like dancers. People stand at the bar, sip, and smile. The coffee bar is a daily ritual. It is not only a drink. It is a small meeting, a bright pause, a neighborly nod. Howard watches. He sees a living room for the city. He thinks about a simple idea, a third place, not home, not work, a warm spot in between. He carries the smell of espresso and the rhythm of voices back across the ocean, packed tighter than any suitcase. Back in Seattle, he shares the vision. Espresso drinks, friendly baristas, a place to sit and talk. The founders respect the idea, but they worry. They want to focus on beans. The plan stalls. Howard feels torn. He respects the company, yet the vision tugs at him. He takes a brave step in 1985. He leaves to start his own coffee bars. He calls the company Il Giornale. He raises money from believers. He promises a careful craft. He chooses high-quality beans and trains baristas to honor each shot. The first store opens. Steam hisses. Lines form. The idea works. Il Giornale grows with simple rules. Respect the bean. Respect the person. Keep stores clean and friendly. The green apron becomes a sign of care. He keeps learning from customers. He watches what they order and why. He notices how a kind word changes a day. Then, a sudden chance appears. In 1987, Starbucks founders decide to sell their small chain and the name. Howard gathers investors. He asks for help from trusted leaders. He wins the bid. Il Giornale and Starbucks become one company. The vision and the name join hands. The push begins. Stores open in new neighborhoods. The smell of roasted beans drifts onto sidewalks. People step in from rain and heat. Some linger over homework. Some read the paper. Others meet friends or plan projects. Baristas learn names and favorite drinks. The company trains and retrains because quality is a habit, not a secret. The goal is not fast coffee. The goal is a small daily joy made well. Growth brings pressure. But the best stores keep the heart of the idea a third place, warm and welcoming, cup by cup. One memory never fades. The hurt father with no safety net. In 1988, Starbucks offers health insurance to eligible part-time workers who put in at least 20 hours each week. This is unusual in those days. Many companies do not do it. Howard wants partners, not just employees. In time, the company also shares stock with workers. The plan is called Bean Stock. People who make the drinks can build wealth too. These choices cost money, but they match a promise. Born in a small Brooklyn apartment, work should have dignity. Benefits should help families breathe easier. In the early 1990s, Starbucks grows beyond Seattle. New stores open across the United States. The company goes public in 1992. Investors watch a coffee company rise on strong habits and human care. The craft scales because training scales. Teams measure shots, watch milk temperature, and greet with steady kindness. The company studies store layouts and line flow. It adds drinks that fit seasons and tastes. Growth looks exciting from outside. Inside, it takes checklists, patience, and many early mornings before sunrise. By the late 1990s, the green siren appears in many cities. People make the store part of their routine. Students write at small tables. Travelers grab cups near gates. Some critics worry about sameness. The company works to keep the barista craft alive while growing. It is not easy. Howard steps aside as chief executive in 2000, becoming chairman. New leaders try new ideas. Some stores feel crowded with machines and signs. The original warmth gets harder to protect. Customers still come, but something important feels thinner. 2008 brings a hard year. The economy shakes. Howard returns as chief executive. One evening, stores across the country close for training lights dim. Teams gather at counters. They practice perfect shots and milk again. The sound of steam returns to center stage. It is a bold move. Closing stores costs money that night. But the message is clear. The company will fix the craft before chasing speed. Slowly, customers notice better drinks and kinder service. The ship turns, inch by inch. The company also looks beyond the bar. Coffee begins on farms, not in cups. Starbucks works with partners and groups to support more responsible sourcing teams visit growers and study fair pay, quality, and care for land. This work grows over the early 2000s. The company learns that better farming can mean better beans and stronger communities. The roaster's roar blends with farmers' voices. A good cup depends on many careful hands across many miles. Starbucks crosses oceans. New stores open in Europe and Asia. Teams adapt to local tastes while keeping the core. Some places prefer stronger espresso. Others enjoy tea blends. Store designs nod to local craft. Still, the third place idea stays steady. A clean table. A friendly face. A drink made with care. The brand grows because the daily ritual means something. It is a pause that fits busy lives in many languages. In later years, debates grow around work and fairness. Some workers seek unions, opinions clash, headlines fly. Howard speaks often about opportunity and respect. The company makes changes and also faces criticism. The story here is complex and still unfolding. What remains clear is the early promise that work should carry dignity. That belief began with a hurt father and a worried family in Brooklyn. It still shapes choices, even when answers are hard. Howard writes about the journey, sharing lessons from wins and stumbles. He steps down, returns, and steps down again. Leaders change. The stores keep opening each morning, with grinders humming and steam rising. Over many decades, the company grows from a tiny Seattle shop to thousands of stores in many countries. The exact number shifts with time, but the shape of the idea stays clear. A third place can live inside a cup and a smile. Many customers try their first latte at a Starbucks counter. They learn words like espresso, cappuccino, and macchiato. They taste beans from faraway farms. The brand helps introduce a wider coffee culture in the United States. Independent cafes also grow in these years. The whole nation learns more about roast levels, origins, and the art of the pour. Some love the big chain. Some prefer tiny shops. Together, they build a new daily habit across towns and cities. Howard's story often returns to one lesson. A hard beginning can grow into care for others. The boy who watched his father struggle built a company that offered health insurance to part-timers long before many others did. He believed kindness can be practical, not just sweet. Training, benefits, and fair chances help people stand taller at work. The idea seems simple. It takes courage to pay for it year after year. Seattle's water still shines under gray skies. The Pike Place store still welcomes visitors. Inside, scoops scrape beans as they did long ago. The journey from one shop to many was not magic. It was work. It was learning from Italy. It was tasting, training, and listening day after day. It was remembering where pain began and choosing a different path for others. Steam hisses. Cups clink. The ritual continues. From 1953 to today, Howard Schultz's timeline runs across many roles. A son in Brooklyn, a student on a cold campus, a sales worker with a sharp ear, a dreamer in Milan, a builder in Seattle, a leader returning in a storm. The details shift with years, but the core remains. Coffee can be more than a drink. Work can be more than a paycheck. A store can be a place where people feel seen. Some parts of the story have debates and disagreements. History often does. But the most steady thread is simple. A child saw a problem at home. As an adult, he tried to fix a piece of it at work. That choice touched hundreds of thousands of partners over time. It turned a personal hurt into a public help that is a quiet kind of bravery. The meaning today sits in many places. It sits in a warm cup passed across a counter. It sits in a health card that helps a family. It sits in a store where a shy kid finds a first job and a team Howard Schultz helped bring a wider coffee culture to America. and showed how business can try to care. The story ends where it began, with a simple wish work should help people live, not only get by.